Om Shanti. I'm Neville, and I live in the UK at Baba's Retreat Centre at Oxford. And so over the years, I've seen quite a lot of Daddy Janki. And in the last couple of years, I've been involved with some writing work connected with her thought. One book that came out was called Inside Out, that was based on a series of interviews with Daddy. And currently, I'm starting some interviews on another book, the idea for which came up at the American Call of the Time. There was a Call of the Time retreat held at Peace Village in, I think it was in June, and Daddy said at one point during that dialogue, "I know how to live and I know how to die." And one of the Brahmins there thought that this would make a good title for a new book about Daddy's thought. And so that job has come to me, and just yesterday, seems a long time ago, I did one interview with Daddy, and I had another one in Oxford 3 or 4 weeks ago. And tonight, I'd like to try to share something of the essence of what's coming across to me from Daddy. She's come up with some quite inspirational material, I feel, but Daddy is always very difficult to interview. You may have noticed that when she's on a panel or something like that, she usually doesn't answer questions. She was questioned about this once, and she said, someone said to her, "Why don't you answer the questions that we ask you?" And Daddy said, "Because your questions aren't good enough. I answer the questions that I think you should be asking." And it's a bit the same, actually, when you're interviewing Daddy personally, recording an interview like I have been recently. In fact, when I did the interviews for Inside Out, a completely different book had been agreed. The title was Seven Steps to Heaven. And each of these seven steps, I've talked it through with Daddy, yes, fine, very good. And I did the first interview, and it didn't really seem to relate to any of the steps to heaven particularly, but I thought, well, maybe better the next time. And it went on like that. And in the end, I'd got this material, fresh material from Daddy, but I had to go away. I went away for a week on my own at a little cottage in the west of England just to try to see what to do with this, because it hadn't supported the structure of the book that I'd had in mind at all. And then sitting with it and studying it, this theme of Inside Out came out, and in that, the meaning of that title was that Daddy was saying that she wants to live in such a way that what is inside, in terms of the beauty of the soul, should come out, and what is outside, in terms of the negativity in the world, should not come in. So it's like a goal of being immune to Maya, to influence, to upset. One of Daddy's favorite phrases, which she repeated often in the course of that book and explored in that, was that she doesn't want to have any worry, fear, or sorrow. This is her renunciation of worry, fear, or sorrow. And you might have thought that wasn't such a particularly hard thing to renounce, because most of us think of worry, fear, and sorrow as not particularly pleasant. So we'd think it would be good to renounce it. But in fact, as we all know, we have habits of worrying and getting afraid and feeling sorrowful about things. So these habits don't disappear just like that. But Daddy is one of the best examples on the planet of someone who really has worked and worked to use Baba's knowledge in order to strengthen her mind so much and her intellect and change her sanskars such that she really can move through life undisturbed. And that's why we're seeing her performing this incredible role at the age of 90. You know, she's in her 90th year. And some of you may have seen her dancing the other night after the program put on by the Russian family. Vigorous dancing. In fact, because with my own background as a medical writer, it frightens me when I see Daddy dancing like that. I'm always afraid that her heart is going to give way. But, of course, she's the master. She knows what she can do with her body. And we've been talking about some of these issues for this in preparing for this next book. One of the things that happens when you interview Daddy also is that it's quite unnerving sometimes because she's very uncalculating. You know, as a journalist and if you're a writer, you're thinking about an audience. You're wanting to shape your information so that it suits a potential audience. But Daddy doesn't think like that. That's, you know, she's more innocent than that. So she just gives what comes to mind. And what comes to mind sometimes is what she sees when she's looking at the person who's interviewing her. So this is also a little bit unnerving. She kind of assesses you. She says, she looks right straight through to the soul. And then what she sees there is what she feels that she is needing to say to strengthen and uplift that soul that is in front of her. When my stage is strong, when I'm feeling good self-respect, positive, alert, I love Daddy dearly and her classes, and I don't feel tired by them. But if my stage is a little bit, you know, rocky and there are questions in my mind about my role and this kind of thing comes up, then sometimes I find Daddy's classes so total, so uncompromising that they're difficult to take. Some of you may have found similar experience. Sometimes you love them and absorb them very well, but sometimes it seems just so uncompromising. But Daddy, don't you understand? And of course Daddy does understand, but she doesn't want to lessen. She doesn't want to offer anything less than the highest to each one of us. And it's up to us then to take as much as we feel comfortable with in making our own decisions about our lives. We're the ones who know our own particular circumstances, internal and external. Once in London, I asked Daddy, I said to her, I think actually at the time I was going through a painful patch in my journey, and I said to Daddy, does it ever occur to you that you might cause sorrow to people by showing them something so high, but then they find that they can't get there? And she said, what are you suggesting, that I shouldn't try? Very sternly. And I had no answer to that. Because really, Daddy's compassion, I've now seen very clearly, Daddy's way of expressing her love to each one of us. She's not lovey-dovey, as you know. She's not someone, you know this expression, lovey-dovey, means kind of obviously loving. Daddy's not like that. In fact, one very, very powerful BBC executive who met Daddy 2 or 3 years ago through the Images and Voices of Hope program, she said to me after meeting Daddy, she'd never met such a powerful old battle axe. And a battle axe means someone like a Viking warrior, you know, someone absolutely unstoppable. And Daddy is like that. But her love, her love is unlimited too. And her way of expressing her love is this tireless effort to persuade us to work with the ideas of the highest that she's offering us. And I love this, actually. I love her for this. Even though sometimes I feel that I can do it, and then sometimes I feel that self-doubt may come in. Not finished, but overall now, definitely the feeling that this works, this wonderful spiritual knowledge works. I've been studying with Baba for 24 years now, and that's long enough to see change both in myself and in many others who I've seen staying with it. You know, there are times when it feels very painful, when you're torn this way and that, and you haven't let go of your attachments, and that is a process that takes time. It can't be forced. And so sometimes it feels painful. But I've seen it enough that those who stay with it over a good long period really do transform. They really bring a new lightness, a new wisdom, a new power into their lives. This is what Daddy's vision is all about. In the first of these two interviews for this new book, again, it doesn't help me that much in structuring a book, but as a kind of vision, it's nice to try to share it with you. What she was telling me was that her heart detects that humanity is really suffering. It's no joke. Sometimes we can forget, you know, we may have our comfort corner. But Daddy really feels that the levels of suffering, not just from upheavals in nature, which come and go, but the extent to which people are suffering because of ignorance, because they don't know how to live, because they don't know what is inside. This was how she put it once, and actually yesterday. She said, people don't know what's inside them, meaning that treasure of truth that is the original sanskars of the soul and God's sanskars. They don't know that that's there. And because of that lack of recognition of that, they look outside for comfort and love and peace, and of course none of it works forever. It gives us some temporary comfort, but the physical world, anything outside of us, ultimately it's going to be outside our control. It will be temporary. And because of this lack of spirituality in people's lives, there is increasing levels of suffering. Even in people who have held on to some faith, or in those who, in traditional religious terms, or people who have had faith in science, which was somewhat my own background, I looked to science for finding a better way forward for humanity. But whatever kind of hope one might have had for the future, it's becoming harder and harder for people to sustain that when they don't have an understanding of the kind that Baba is giving us. And so Daddy's feeling this strongly, and also she foresees that in the years ahead, it's going to get so much worse. We can all see, you know, report after report about environmental challenges, climate change, economic indebtedness, disparities between rich and poor, deteriorated levels of governance. There are so many different threads whereby we can see the decline happening. And Daddy perceives this, and so she knows that even the levels of suffering that there are now are going to get a lot worse. And the vision that she has is that right across the globe, there should be, it's like pillars of light. Individuals who have done the work of understanding the soul and God, not just with the intellect, but who've done the work of letting go of their own tendencies, predispositions that get in the way of that understanding and experience, and therefore are able to stand firm in truth, by which Daddy means in the original qualities of the soul, of that wisdom and love, compassion, peace, perhaps above all peace, that there should be such knowledge inside the soul that it really can maintain that peaceful stage, which will both vibrationally and in terms of giving hope to others, because they see that they don't have to be distressed, she considers to be the best gift that we can offer humanity at this time. And so the kind of writing that she wants me to do is something that will reach out, so that whether it's BKs or people from other faiths or no faith, but people who can recognize this call. This, in fact, is the call of the time, as Daddy's been sharing it in the dialogues of that name. That we should let go of our limited ways of limited values even, and limited strategies for improving our own lot and the lot of others, and understand that the real call of the time now is to free the soul, that the soul should actually die to all of its hopes, its ambitions, its attachments. It should die from all of these limited things and come to life again. This is so dying alive, come to life again as these beacons of light and understanding. And that she just feels that that's what Baba is putting in place. Almost like out of Baba's mercy, Baba might say it's nature's mercy, that the drama is made in such a way that with this painful transition period that's coming up, that there should be these beacons of light who help that transition to take place. And I love this vision. I think it's really wonderful. At one point I asked Daddy, because, as a journalist, one journalistic value is transparency. You like things to be what they say they are, and you try to uncover secrets in a way. That's part of that sort of professional sanskar. And one of the things that has caused me some discomfort in that limited way has been the fact that in the paradigm, in the understanding, in Gyan that Baba has revealed, that we understand that this transition involves a complete transformation, that the world can't just be patched up forever, like an old tree that, you know, you're trying to give it a bit more life, but that it actually has to fall away and then the new come through in its place. And for people who are not aware of the spiritual dimension, aware of the power of consciousness in shaping this material world, for people who are locked in the materialistic paradigm that says that, you know, this physical stuff is primary and mind is just some secondary quality of the brain, people who think like that, it's incomprehensible that we should let go of trying to fight to save this old world. Very hard for people to understand this different strategy. And so we don't walk around saying the world is coming to an end, partly because we don't believe that. But this point of destruction is a difficult one to convey. So in our courses and so forth nowadays, we focus on sharing the knowledge of the soul and God and karma, and then only for those that show an inclination to go deeper do we reveal more of what Baba has told us is to happen. So I've often wanted to write more about this. I feel that it should be possible to explain this to the world, but sometimes the sister, I've tried and the sisters have said, well, you know, Neville, at the moment, are people really going to understand? It's so easily misunderstood if you write about these things in too gross a way. And so I asked Daddy about this. I said, we're thinking that the world as it is today is coming to a close to make way for the film to start again. So how do I reconcile that with what you're trying to tell people, that there's a better way to live? And Daddy said, yes, it's true. We can't go around just speaking of destruction in ways that are misunderstood. But what we can do is signal to people that there are ways of living life which are much better than the ones that they're, the methods that they're following at the moment. People are more and more ready to understand that something's gone wrong with the dream of humanity, that there is pain, there is sorrow, even among those who materially are comfortable. In fact, sometimes more among those who are materially comfortable, this sorrow and pain is there. And people are recognizing this. So she says, part of the task is to remind, to show people that if they learn to die from their desires, if they learn to let go, it's a challenge, definitely, as we all know, as BKs. It takes courage to maintain ourselves on this path. But if we learn to die completely, we can live completely. And when we live completely, we'll not be afraid to die. And this is actually the essence that lies behind this title of this new book, of I know how to live, I know how to die. Daddy is saying that if you learn how to live truly, really accurately, that is rooted in soul awareness and God awareness and what God's doing at this time, then when you leave this body, it will be nothing. Last year, I forget now, perhaps one or two Madhavan visits ago, I had a beautiful dream that comes to mind that I'd just like to share. I was staying in Pandav Bhavan and had gone for a rest one afternoon, and I had this dream where there was a giant pyramid, sort of steps up it, and Daddy Janki was... I was standing somewhere on the side of this, and Daddy Janki appeared up towards the top of this pyramid, and she walked up the last few steps, right to the very peak. And down below, there were thousands of people on a plane down below. They were all looking up to her, waiting for some address from her, some message. And I was observing all this, and Daddy just, she got right to the top, and she looked down at everyone down below, and she laid back and left her body. And I could see that she'd gone, but the people down below didn't know. And I was just observing this with great detachment. And then suddenly I woke up. And it's a very strange thing that it teaches us about the relationship between the soul and the body. But I woke up knowing that this had been a dream, but for the next 20 minutes I couldn't stop crying. It's so odd. Something about that, you know, Neville as a human being with feelings related to Daddy Janki. In the dream, as the detached observer, the soul, I just saw this event and I was easy about it. But then that contrast with the sorrow that I felt, even though I knew it wasn't true, but just the thought experienced so powerfully seconds before in the dream was enough to trigger these sorrow circuits inside me. This actually relates to quite an important issue that I think is going to help people in general to understand the importance of the kind of thing we're doing in Raja Yoga. The brain scientists, who, as you may know, have powerful equipment these days for mapping in great detail what is going on inside different parts of the brain as we think, as we feel. And they're changing their ideas about the brain a lot. For one thing, they know now very clearly that the brain cells are, they use the term plastic. That means malleable, if you know this word. It means that they're flexible. The brain is not just like a fixed computer, which the scientists used to think it was, that once in childhood it had been programmed, that was more or less it. Not at all. Right throughout life, the brain changes according to how we use it. And there are centers of activity, groups of brain cells, neurons, that specialize in a whole range of different functions, including different feelings. There are neurons specialized in feelings of contentment. There are neurons specialized in feelings of depression and despair. And the scientists have shown very clearly that certain practices, including some meditative practices, shift predominant brain activity from the depressed areas to the contented areas. So people are going to, as this becomes more and more widely understood, people are going to recognize what Baba tells us, that every thought that we have, every feeling that we have, is important. Baba tells us that every second we should be making the effort to be aware of the impact of our thoughts and feelings. The other major finding is that what they call the brain a feeling brain now. It's not just a computer, but all the perceptions that we have, we've learned to put certain feelings, attach certain feelings to those perceptions. So, for example, a particular type of behavior may bring fear up inside me because that behavior caused me great distress in childhood or in some previous birth, perhaps. There's a whole range of examples that one can take. Certain types of faces may bring up feelings of warmth. Other faces or activities may bring repulsion. And all of these, this is like the programming that we have inside our heads, which is one of the reasons why, although we may realize instantly what truth is when Baba introduces himself and tells us that we are that pure consciousness, that we are that love and peace, but these other tendencies have actually got hardwired into our brains as well as existing in our sanskars. So we should be patient with ourselves and understand that it does take practice over a period of time. There will be these other feelings and thoughts that come up that will get in the way of our truth. But for Daddy, she doesn't like us to speak of process. She wants to fill our will with the strength that we can do this now. And in fact, the will is something that I've been finding coming more and more online for myself. The more the faith has been there, that the more the faith and the understanding is there, that God really will do the things that I used to think I had to do for myself. This is one of the biggest shifts we can make. I asked Daddy yesterday, would the kind of help from God that she was describing, she draws on, would that have been available for people at any time in history? She said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The truth that comes from the seed now is unique to the confluence age. Of course, in the life of a tree, there's information comes from the seed. It informs the way the tree develops. You could say that information from the seed is still sustaining the tree, but it's not that truth that the seed itself represents. It's not that freshness and wholeness. It's mixed in an old tree, diseased perhaps, dying. But now, the uniqueness of the confluence age is that this energy of truth, which God represents, this seed of humanity, that's there for us to draw on. And it will do the job that we, in our isolation, felt we had to do for ourselves in previous eons. You know, this long period of the Copper and Iron Age, where we were these isolated units who lost our unity, and we didn't have real power from God to help us either. This faith has grown in me. I think the more I've seen Daddy making it work, I've been associated with something called the Janky Foundation. Some of you may have heard of this. It's a healthcare organization. It was set up to, initially, to support the global hospital financially. It needed a separate charity for legal reasons in the UK in order for this money to go out to the global hospital. But Daddy didn't want it just to be, she didn't want us to do fundraising as such. She said, you should serve and then the funds flow. And so this idea came about that the Janky Foundation would become a healthcare educational group. And in particular, a group has done a lot of wonderful work on values in healthcare, where a group of about 10 health professionals have pulled together some very beautiful materials that can serve the health professions through exercises that remind them of their own highest motives. But between the starting of the Janky Foundation and the point that we're reaching now, where these materials are being taken up around the globe, there was a lot of uncertainty about what we should do. It was a difficult period. Daddy was inspired that something should happen, but we felt, well, we're BKs. You know, we love Bubba's knowledge. What are we going to do with something else outside of this? But Daddy had that vision, no, this can reach places that the BKs can't reach. And she just held that vision strongly, and with all our ups and downs and questioning and difficulties that we created and that we experienced, Daddy just kept holding that feeling that energy, God's energy, will bring something through here. And she works like this. You know, she tells us she doesn't think. Recently, at a retreat in London, Daddy was telling a group of executives, business executives, don't think. And they said, yeah, we understand, Daddy. You mean we should think less? We should be peaceful and think less? She said, no, don't think. She was telling them, don't think at all. And this is, I'm understanding more and more what she means by this. We think so much in ways that are unnecessary. I think perhaps I've been a particular victim of this, because when, you know that Baba said in the Murli a day or two ago that businessmen are very practical. They understand profit and loss quickly. But people who've had more education and they've used their intellects a lot in their work, they may have some ego of that intellect, and it's been valuable to them, they think. And so it's harder for them to let go of that. And that's been my experience, that even though my heart recognized the beauty of the Brahmin family and the beauty of the truth that was working through the Brahmin family instantly when I first came into contact, but in terms of fully grasping the power of God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and in fact to do for us what we've been trying to do for ourselves for so long, that's taken a couple of decades for me to really grasp. 20 years or more for me to really, really grasp that. Some get it instantly if they don't have that, don't hold on to those other ideas, you know, that we have to put the world to rights, that we have to be rational, we have to use our intellects to sort things out. This kind of approach tends to be men who think that way a bit more, because it's fallen to them in this last couple of thousand years to take that role where we did have to use our intellects to think about what we could do about situations. We didn't have God there to help. This is why it's such a great leap for us to understand that if we can let go of our own thinking and the influence of other ways of tackling things that have been the best we could do in the past. It wasn't that they were wrong. They've been the best we could do in the past. But to let go of them and in silence, in peace, really dead to the world, we will get guidance from Baba about how he wants us to act. And we will get the kind of power coming through in our relationship with this drama that Daddy is now demonstrating. With her body, with other people, with material resources, with the material world. It's as if, because Baba is the almighty authority, and he's got a task that he's definitely doing, uniquely at this time, but he can't get through unless we really, really quieten our minds. And that's why it's such a priority to let go and be peaceful. In the end, that's Daddy's message. It all comes back to Om Shanti, actually. So simple. I've probably complicated it. Anyway, anyone, any questions? This is the gist of Daddy's inspirational sharings. I love it. After using my intellect such a lot in life, you know, in my job and thinking that was what was needed, I'm just becoming more and more trusting, you know, just to be quiet, and then the answers come. It's amazing. Probably many of you know this already, but some of you may not. It's very beautiful. And as long as we're worrying, as long as we have any worry or fear or sorrow, Baba can't get through. That's why we have to renounce those things. We can't indulge in them anymore. That's what Baba was meaning, this lightness, this double lightness he wants from us. Then he can speak to us. And he really is speaking to us now uniquely. Old souls are disillusioned about this, actually. You know, because in the past, we've perhaps thought that God might help us. We've had leaders who told us, trust us, trust God, but, you know, he wasn't there to help. And so we might have trusted, and then we got landed in it. We were in trouble. That's happened in the past, and so there's a certain disillusionment. I think that's also one reason why it takes us a while to really, really let go and let God, as the saying goes. But this is a special time, Daddy's saying now, and we can do this, and we'll get a wonderful return. I am starting to see this. When you say she, you mean... Not to me, actually. You might have been a bit misled on that. Sharona did an interview with her, and I think Sharona's going to do a class about this at some point, sharing in detail what Daddy had said on that front. But for me, it's been... What's been coming across has been this call to us to die alive, because Daddy is saying that is the way to live. That's the way to live now. And in fact, the lessons within that will give us the truth that will show us how to live in beautiful ways in our future births as well, with that detachment, with that spirituality. What's the question? Right. That's it. The brother is asking, is this related to what Baba has spoken of that sometimes we just taking this in the intellect and using it in an intellectual way, but not really serving from the heart, not understanding from the heart, and that we're actually might still be getting in the way of what Baba wants to do. And yes, this is what Daddy is sharing, but she's also, it's not a question of renouncing the intellect, because we need the intellect to be filled with knowledge. We need the intellect to be divinized. We need the intellect to be filled with the faith and understanding of what is going on in ways I've been describing. That God actually is here. The Supreme Soul, uniquely in this age, is bringing this truth through and telling us how to align with that truth by considering ourselves these incorporeal souls and remembering him, that we've come from him in that home. And yes, letting go of living in those ways where greed and criticism and desires are pulling us into matter, because that produces the disturbance that stops us from receiving this energy of truth. So the intellect needs to be filled with understanding. But when we intellectualize it and when we speak of it in ways that are just held in the intellect, so yes, I know I'm a soul, but not really truly experiencing the soul's qualities, what it means to be a child of God, then of course that won't work. That's right. But both together, Daddy, when I asked Daddy, one of these interviews was about tolerance. And because Daddy's saying that the powers are needed in order to be able to live in this way, where we're free of the influence of the world, where we just stay with Baba. And I was questioning her about tolerance. And she said at one point, I asked her, how do we get the kind of tolerance that she'd been speaking of? And she said, from knowledge. So it's when that knowledge gets planted in the intellect that the powers come. Because the intellect can then reason with us. You know, say some old sanskar is emerging, we can say, no, I know that sanskar may have had its value in the past, but I don't want to respond that way anymore. I want God's sanskars now. I want God's stability, God's peace, God's love. I don't want this criticism or this analysis. So we use the intellect to make that transition in our sanskars. And then gradually, as the sanskars change, as we act from these elevated feelings, we actually change our brains as well. Our whole stage becomes divine. And that's what we see in the daddies now. But that takes a little time. I was asking Daddy a little bit more about this aspects of tolerance. And I said even things like, she said how she had just a few days ago, she'd had a blood pressure crisis, and it had produced some symptoms in her that had made her feel she couldn't come to class. But then she'd thought, no, I must be in the class. There'll be questions asked if I'm not. And she'd just gone into silence for about 12 or 15 minutes, and her blood pressure came right down. And I said, but okay, that's one example, Daddy, but it's well known that blood pressure can go up and down quite easily, but what about if you have severe toothache? You know, I asked something as mundane as that. How do you tolerate that? Because I remember a little while ago when I had a bad toothache that I found that I could just momentarily forget the toothache by trying to remember Baba, but it would last for a split second, and then the pain, I'd be absorbed by the pain again. And Daddy said, her answer was not that she was beyond the pain. She had an episode of severe tooth trouble recently. Not that she was beyond the pain, but that she said she just dealt with it immediately. She was due to travel the next day. She found someone to take her to a dentist. She told the dentist, just do what's necessary to sort this, and then didn't give it another thought. No worries. just accepted whatever the dentist was going to do, and then was fine to travel the next day. So it's like when there is a problem for matter in the body or in circumstances, just not to give it thought, just to minimally do what's necessary. Obviously, we have a responsibility to take care physically. So just minimally doing what's necessary, but not giving it any thought, so that then matter quickly sorts itself out. It has the best chances of coming right if it's left alone like that. Whereas when we come in with thoughts of what am I going to do? Will I be able to make it onto the flight? Can I stand this pain? All these kind of complications that come in into our heads, they all get in the way of the body's ability to heal quickly and efficiently. And what I've been learning from Daddy, in response to Eleanor's question actually, about this aspect of relationship with the elements, it's not only that Baba, as a spiritual being, will, when we align ourselves with him and what he represents, that love and peace and joy, when we align ourselves with him, he'll show us what to do. It's like he'll do our thinking for us. He'll take us to the right place at the right time to do the right job that's needed in the drama. He'll do all that. But it, more than that, it's as if when we let go of all our worry and self-concern and body consciousness, then the elements themselves are better able to heal themselves and for energy to flow through the elements in ways that will put them right too. Doctors know very well that the body will heal much quicker in a person who is relaxed and calm. Someone who's worried and upset, worrying about the future or the past, healing is slowed hugely. Much more vulnerable to infections, all things like that. So that relationship is obvious to us. But even in the material world around us, when we are worrying, it's as if nature, who with God is wanting to heal the world's wounds, nature can't do that job either. You know, when we're there saying, we've got to sort this out, it's a terrible state of affairs, you know, we're getting angry about it, getting upset about it, or with our greed making it worse, then nature can't bring that healing through on the planet. We need to let go. This is Daddy's message. That's a big challenge. It really is. It's total. No messing about. She's saying the sooner we learn to do this, the happier we will be, the happier we will make it everyone else. Is that okay? The steps involved in going into deep silence. Well, let's finish now with a meditation. Our time is up, actually. So I'll just share thoughts that Daddy has shared in this territory. In Inside Out, she describes how we can think of ourselves as being like a lamp. And when you want a lamp to burn well and steadily, you put a shield around it. A glass shield. And she says that is one of the steps that we need in meditation, that we stop thinking about the past or the future. Stop that completely. Just come into the present moment. And then she says that the wick of the lamp has to draw up the oil to burn brightly and well. And the oil is the oil of knowledge. The knowledge, so we use the intellect to remind ourselves that we are souls, we're incorporeal and eternal, we come from God in that home above, we're returning there soon, the play is renewing itself. She says this draws into the mind the fuel that then, with the thought of love between yourself and your father, That's the spark that lights the wick, and then it can just burn brightly. That's one method that she describes for going into the beautiful experience of the stillness of that flame of the soul. So let's just finish with a couple of minutes.